Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Connect on post-show recaps?
That's right.
The We Got Y'all crew is back again with even more content you love. Today, we're talking about episodes 1 and 2 of Ladies First, a story of women in hip hop. But first, allow us to reintroduce ourselves. My name is Mari Forth. I am your host for the Ladies First podcast. And of course, I couldn't do this without my brother from another mother. Chappelle, what's up? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Mari? We back, baby. We back here.
Yes.
On the Connect, it's been a great time. Like, listen, we've had a great time covering all these shows. We've covered so much before in the past. We've taken a little break, but now we're trying to get the Connect reinvigorated, and I'm so excited to be here talking about this with you.
Yes. So, the Connect is back. I'm so happy that we have returned. Can you explain to people what the goal of the Connect is here on Post Show Recaps?
Yeah. So, for the uninitiated, you know, the Connect is Mari, Chappelle, and our third co-host, LaTanya, and we are here to connect, you know, the post-show recaps listeners to a little culture, if you will, to show you what might be outside of your normal TV watching pleasure, and, you know, to give you our spin on it. You know, we are the PSR Connect. We also are the plug to all of this positive Black content here.
Yes.
And in the past, we've talked about several Black television shows. We actually started talking about Insecure, I believe.
Yep.
We pivoted to Atlanta at some point.
Yep.
Then we pivoted to Snowfall. And
And
then Mari and LaTanya tackled The Swarm. Is it Swarms? The Swarm.
It's Swarm. It's just Swarm.
It's just Swarm. See? I told you.
Black
folk. And so we covered Swarm. And now we're back trying to decide, what do we do next? What do we do to keep this Connect going? Because we got a lot of positive feedback in the past about our coverage, and we want to make sure that we're not leaving any of our listeners high and dry. So moving forward, we're going to try to find some of the hottest new Black content and talk about it. We might actually have to start looking in the past at some of the old Black content, some of the tried and true classics, and talking about them. So we're just going to try to keep this feed loaded up with positive Black feedback, commentary, and content, and hopefully create a space to where we start these conversations with our listeners. And so if you have any feedback, you want to leave us some reviews, feel free to leave us 5-star reviews only, because we can't read anything less than that. And tell us what you want to hear us talk about on The Connect, and tell us what you think about what we're saying on The Connect, because we love everybody to be involved. This is an inclusive place. It's just Black AF.
There you go. Yes, I love that. And we are planning to cover the second season of Rap Shit. It was supposed to be this week, but unfortunately, the season got pushed back until November. So until then, you know, we'll jump around. We're going to cover a few things here or there. Like Chappelle said, give us your comments, your suggestions for things you might want to hear us cover. But since we know we're going to talk about Rap Shit, I thought that the best place to start would be this Ladies First docuseries. This is a four-part docuseries that outlines the rise of women in hip-hop. I'm very excited to talk to you about it, Chappelle, because it was one of those things that once it dropped on Netflix, I was like, wow, this seems like something like I really want to watch. I really want to like really take in. And as I started watching this, I was like, oh my God, everybody needs to watch this. What did you think?
Yeah, man, this is some Rap Shit. And it's so cool because these are some of my favorite people in the history of the world. You know, this is Ladies First, the story of hip hop, women in hip hop, shows a side of hip hop that a lot of people don't talk about, which is, you know, the ingenuity and all of the content that is brought to us by Black women. And so this was a great, you know, precursor to us talking about Rap Shit, Issa Rae's Rap Shit, obviously, in the fall when it finally comes back. We actually planned on talking about it way before this. So I think this works. This works. We start talking about the origins of this. And then when Rap Shit drops, we'll be ready to talk about those episodes when they come out.
Yeah, I completely agree. Everybody knows, if you know me, you know I am a fan of like a docuseries style format or and I really do like history style pieces. So let's get into episode one, called Shaping Hip Hop. The thing that I liked about this docuseries, we've only to be upfront, we've only watched episode 1 and 2. We are going to come back and review episodes 3 and 4 next week. But I love the way that they kind of section off like what we're talking about. So episode one, Shaping Hip Hop, was way more of that like history building. And each episode has like a track list, should you say. It's almost like a chapter. So episode one's track list was Building Shit Out of Nothing, I Might As Well Tell You Who I Am, Fighting the Power, and Super Duper Fly. And each section highlighted different artists and how they shaped hip hop. I really like this structure. Chappelle, what did you think of the structure before we dive into the content?
I thought this was cool. A lot of hip hop documentaries are sequentialized, right? Or so you start at the beginning and you just work your way through, and eventually you end up, you know, talking about the hip hop artists that we have today. But this way, it was broken down to like, who are the big influences? And then sometimes they would jump around and show what came from those influences, right?
Yeah. So
if you started talking about, you know, MC Light, then of course they show you later on the Rhapsodies that came from that, you know? And so I really appreciated this. I love the fact that it was a track list even, you know? I mean, we got to see it put in a way that it was, the continuity was there, you know? This is a hip-hop style documentary. Why not have a track list? It makes sense.
Yeah, and I really, it took me a minute to realize what they were doing, because at first I thought it was going to be sequential. I thought it was going to be like this, and this. But they really did a great job of being like, no, this is her son. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the direct influence, you know, MC Light directly influenced, you know, like you said, Rhapsody. It was so good. I really did like kind of the back and forth of it all. And I like how they gave homage to how right now is a great time for women's rap. For me personally, I think that women's rap and hip hop right now feels like it is at its apex, because it feels like there are so many girls out there doing it and doing it in different ways and different styles. And I know that's something we've kind of been saying for years, but these last few years in particular really feels like there has been a boom. It makes me think of this year's BET Awards, which the first time I've actually sat down and watched a BET movie awards and like back to front in years, and they were all up and down the performances. It was amazing to see. So I like how this started off with a good montage of highlights of what women's rap is like right now, and then taking it back to telling us about who the first female MC was. Did you know about MC Sha-Rock, Chappelle?
Yeah, so I've watched like other hip hop documentaries and stuff like that. Gotcha. And a lot of them will stop down and make sure that she gets her credit. She is so, first of all, she's such a fun character anyway. You know, when they are talking about her, you could tell. She came in on the ground floor, you know. All the other artists are paying homage to her. I think I've seen another documentary on Netflix about hip hop once, and I think it's called The Foundation or something. And they immediately start with MC Lyte or they start with Roxanne.
Shantae. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but both of those women, when they start with them, they both go back to Sha-Rock. They say, nope, you gotta start with her. And I think that is so cool because she's number one. There, you know, like somebody had to start this stuff and it was her.
Yeah. I have to admit, like, my ignorance when it comes to like the origins of hip hop, only because like I was an 80s baby, 90s kid, but for me and my upbringing, I was only exposed to what my parents listened to. And my mom was more of an R&B. And so like I love me some R&B, like that old school 90s R&B. And so as I was going through this documentary, I felt like I was learning a lot, but I also was like, yeah, I remember this. Like my mom did love Queen Latifah, like Queen Latifah, Salt-N-Pepa, TLC, like that. Like if I was listening to any type of women's hip hop in my house, it was like the three of them. So I feel like it was educational, but also inclusive, where you could be like, oh yeah, yeah, this is where I remember this stuff at. You know what I'm saying? Like, what did your upbringing shape how you took in this docuseries?
Yeah. So you and I have talked about this before, but I've always been in predominantly Black spaces. At no point have I ever felt like a minority in my community. There, don't get me wrong. Outside community, yeah. Oh yeah. But at home, nah. And so my mom always lied and said she didn't like rap music. She would be like, don't listen to that rap music. Don't listen. It's bad. Da, 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 da. Why are we not listening to? And she would just start naming all of these 80s R&B and, you know, and soul artists. But then when we get in the car, this lady was bumping all of the rap. And so, and I have another funny aunt. Yeah. And I have another aunt. She's actually an older cousin, but she's like my auntie. Her family, they are a family of just hip hop heads. And so when I would go hang out with them, oh, I got to digest all of that stuff. So Queen Latifah, that if we start talking about the queen, I might start to tear up. That's
my girl. I know, same.
Dana Owens, that's the queen, you know. And so, yeah, growing up, it just felt normal. All of these people felt front of mind. Now, there was definitely, you know, because we are younger than the beginnings of hip hop, we have to do our research to find out about these
exactly
people, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember watching old MTV shows or VH1 shows where they go back and they interview these people or they do documentary style stuff about them, and I was tapped in every time because I wanted to know, where did this come from? And I kind of wanted to be like them when I grew up. I remember thinking that I was going to be in Criss Cross. I know the Brat, that was her
yeah,
name,
the Brat. Yeah,
I really thought I was going to be in Criss Cross. You couldn't tell me nothing.
Yeah, I think I have my TT, my auntie that took care of me. She's 15 years older than me. She's the one who introduced me to Salt-N-Pepa. And I remember her knowing all the words to JJ Fab, Supersonic, stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I really appreciate learning. Like, I know that sounds like so nerdy, but that's why I appreciate this docuseries, because I'm like, this is freezing that hip hop. This is that history and spreading it to a lot of people that might not have known. I didn't realize that Sylvia Robinson like produced the Sugar Hill Gang and Rapper's Delight, and she was basically kind of like the cog behind Rapper's Delight and its commercial viability and stuff like that. And it was such it was so eye-opening, you know, and I love this first chapter here in this Shaping Hip Hop with like building the shit out of nothing, because you start to see how female MCs back then really were just kind of like, they were all doing it for the hustle almost. It was to make money. It was to get their names out there, but mostly just a love for the art form, like just a love for the art form, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, Sylvia Robinson's story is so cool to me. So she was, I don't know how familiar you are with Sylvia Robinson in general, Mari. Are you?
No.
So she was like an R&B like a singer in the 80s or in the 70s, like in the 70s or something like that.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she had a solo career, and then I think she had a partner named Joe. And so one time, Joe and Sylvia, I think Sylvia went into like a club, and she saw Love Bug Sarsky, the DJ. And she kind of hears his vibe, and she's like, oh, I want to make a record like that, but I don't know anybody to do it. Like, I don't know anybody to put in this place. So she goes and finds one. So she, cause like, she can't find a Harlem rapper to do it. Right. So she's like, okay, I need to go and send for people to go get somebody to give us this sound. And so they send them to find people in Jersey. And so Joe and Sylvia, they pull up in Jersey at like a pizza parlor. And like early in the morning, and that's when they find Big Bang, Big Hank, and and all the people from who will be known as the Sugar Hill Gang, and they make them rap on the spot. And that's when they get the hip hop, blah, 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 blah. And that's how she discovered them. But people don't talk about that when they talk about the Sugar Hill Gang, you know, in a lot of ways they say, oh, the Sugar Hill Gang was like the first like commercial hip hop success.
Yeah.
But it doesn't start unless Sylvia Robinson walks in and says, oh, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to go find. And she did. She went and sought him out.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. I also like the section on Roxanne Shanté. Like, so Roxanne, she has her own movie on Netflix as well. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see it. I haven't finished it yet, but it's so interesting. The biggest thing I remember taking away from her story was, oh, Roxanne played the record company. Like she got them to pay for her mama's house, got her to pay for college and all this stuff. And that was what I remembered. I loved hearing about her story as like a 15-year-old rapper, and her, she is credited as having the first diss track in history, where she responded with Roxanne's Revenge against the song Roxanne. And this was just amazing. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, you know, a little bit of it, and then when you see it, it was just so fun to hear. But I was also like side-eyeing, because I'm like, dang, she's 15 and she was taking all of those hits. Like, you have to be so like stone cold to be able to take all of those hits that she was taking in that time, and the things that they were saying.
Yeah, and she credits that to her mom. She says mom raised her to where that kind of stuff didn't bother her, because she was so grounded in her upbringing, and she knew that stuff was just people, those were just words, you know, people weren't saying that, and it should have affected her, because she, like you said, she was a hustler. They were born in housing projects. There was prostitution going out around in the neighborhood. And so her mom would go out and sell, underwear and, you know, feminine and products.
Yeah.
Right. To the prostitutes to make money. Mm-hmm. And so she knew that wasn't her. So when she's going up against rappers telling her that all she's good for is sex and all this other stuff, it didn't fluster her. And in fact, it was just like, since that stuff didn't bother her, she could go so much harder. It did make me give side eyes to the rapper she was against, because what are you talking about, KRS-One?
Yes, right. God. Oh my gosh.
It's so stupid. But you know, Mari, the one of the things that they point out in this documentary is that the thing with hip hop is even when it's rooted in misogyny and misogynoir, it's so catchy that we perpetuate those words. We just keep saying them. And back then, women, men, children, everybody was reciting those words about a 15-year-old girl. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to really think about, you know. What are your thoughts about Cash Doll on here? Cash Doll, like they draw a direct line of like Roxanne being like that hustler mentality, and using rap as a hustle, to Cash Doll and the like, kind of like the dancer, the former dancer pipeline. What did you feel about this one?
Why is Cash Doll?
Okay, you know, why? I didn't want to say it. I was like, is this a sneak? Like, I don't.
She's so fine. She's so fine. Dear God. Yeah, you see her in this documentary. I was like, Cash Doll. Wow. Dang, what was the question? She, dear God, this woman is a hustler. You know, she talks about starting off as a stripper and how she just was looking for a way to make money for her family. She was the oldest of six kids. And it was just another hustle that she picked up. But then she was like the premier stripper in Michigan, or at least in Detroit, you know, whatever. And then she decides, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to rap. And there's a lot to be said about, like you said, the dancer to hip hop artist pipeline, because there are a lot of artists like Cash Doll that we've seen that have gotten off the strip club pole and gone to rap, or even rapped while on the pole. You know, Cash Doll said she was on stage a lot of times just rapping in the strip club, making money. She didn't even have to strip. And so we've seen those artists have to deal with so many struggles too, you know, where people hold them accountable to for not being a real rapper or something like that because they were a stripper once. And it doesn't take away from their skills, but they have to deal with that as women in the industry. I love Cash Doll. I don't know if I made that clear.
Really?
But she can rap. I mean, Cash Doll can rap. And
interesting.
Yeah, and so it's like, I like that they added her in there, because although she is a stripper, and she when she puts out her music, Cash Doll got bars. You know, I don't know if she out here freestyling against people, but I'm not listening to Cash Doll music and be like, this don't rhyme, it's offbeat. You could save that for some other rappers, probably.
Okay.
You're not a Cash Doll fan?
No, I'm not familiar with her music, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a playlist.
That's fine. I think she got drowned out in that whole doll wave. I heard a few things from some doll and I was like, I don't, no, thank you.
Yeah, they're Asian, you know, doll, China Asian doll,
like all, yeah.
Which, by the way, a big Asian
wave
doll.
Of all them girls at the same time have the same name.
Right, and Asian doll, you need to change yours.
Yeah.
It's okay, you could change it.
Yeah. I loved how in this first episode they really tried to highlight the accomplishments of some like women in hip hop. For instance, you can't talk about women in hip hop without talking about MC Lyte. And MC Lyte is just, she is her name. She is such a beacon of light in hip hop, and she's been that for over 50 like years and stuff like that. I love this section about her because I do know about MC Lyte, and hearing that she was the first like female, she put out the first female solo album, I was like, I feel I'm learning new facts. I'm just learning lots of new facts here.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that either. You know,
yeah.
MC Lyte is one of those voices that I've heard my entire life, you know?
Yes, exactly.
From being in music to just being just one of the most recognizable voiceovers that you ever hear in the Black community. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she's voiced every BET Awards for the last 20 years. She's so dope. Just, I can't say enough. I think the things that I learned about MC Lyte in this were just how growing up in an African school made her really feel like she was learning things that the greater community was not learning, you know, the area around her. And so she wanted to use that as a way to educate other people, you know, like almost like have a platform to say, I know these things and I need to tell y'all, and I'm going to use my poetry to do it. And so that's why she's so impressive. And again, when she was like 16 years old, all these women rappers are starting it like as babies. These are children.
Yeah, and it's like they used her as kind of like the rise of like conscious female rap, and they drew the line directly to Tierra Whack and Rhapsody, who are like two female rappers who everybody tells me like you need to listen to them. I have them downloaded in my Apple playlist, and I just haven't yet, because maybe I should also preface this to a lot of people who are listening. I am not a music person.
Yeah.
I think I've said this on a couple other podcasts. I'm actually a visual person. I've been a visual learner, and I'm more interested in visual mediums. So I'm a TV person and a movie person. Like I like go overboard when it comes to stuff like that. So when it comes to music, I can be very like naive when it comes to like that, because music doesn't really move me until I find something that moves me and then I stick with it. Like, I'm that type of person who, again, that could be the ADHD, but like, I will play the same, I've played the same three albums for the last 3 years, like when I'm trying to get something done, you know? So I've been trying lately to actually open my horizons musically with working out. Now I've been working out a lot more lately, and I've been finding like different songs to work out to. And actually a lot of my workout playlist is a lot of this female rap right now. So it really is like an awakening for me, kind of this docuseries, because this whole docuseries, I was like, I need to write this down. I need to go listen to this. Was that your experience or something different? I do know like you and music kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, I'm a music guy. But it's because of the same thing you were just saying. When I was young, I would watch music stuff on television all the time. Mm-hmm. I would watch videos. I remember pop-up video on VH1.
Oh, I love pop-up video. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's that's where nerds like us go to get the data, right? We're absorbing all of that stuff and like pocketing it. And so for me, I would do all this research by watching these shows, watching these documentaries, asking a bunch of questions. And then at that point, I got to go check them out. And so that's why I became a music person. It's kind of like the thought of it was cool enough to where I got to go listen. And so I am entrenched in a lot of these artists, but they're not every artist is my cup of tea. Actually, I like Tierra Whack, but I am not a big Rhapsody person. I've never really gotten into her music. I've heard people talk about Rhapsody. Obviously, she's very talented, but I don't have like a favorite Rhapsody song. And so I would, after this, obviously, I'm like, let me go check out some more things. But you do see those through lines from, you know, the beginning stages with the MC Lights and the conscious rap to what we see later on with these more recent mainstream artists. One thing I've always found frustrating though, Mari, is that sometimes in these hip hop conversations, they like to pit the artists against each other by saying, well, you listen to Rhapsody and Tierra Whack, that means you are like more socially aware, or you're more conscious, or even like you're more intelligent because you appreciate the bars more. Mm-hmm. And then they'll look at somebody like a Meg Thee Stallion or Cardi B, who's not talking about stuff as so overtly, you know, conscious, and say, oh, well, they aren't able to do that. And or you are not as enlightened because you don't listen to that. And so maybe that's why I pushed away from listening to Rhapsody as much, because it's like, it doesn't, for me, I don't think that is a mark of your intelligence or anything like that based off of who you listen to, you know?
Yeah, and they talk, we'll talk about it in the next episode, but it does seem like even as far back as the origins of hip hop, it really was always a pitting of the women against each other. I truly thought that was kind of like a new phenomenon, you know, but it's really not, you know, it goes back. But before we get to that, we do have to stop down and just show some love to the queen. Queen Latifah, like this is me. She is her. We are I love, like, the Ladies First, when Ladies First came out, I mean, I knew every word. Her and Moni Love, the flow. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Stan, Mark.
UNITY, that was a song my mom would kill that song. Like, on top of Living Single, and again, that brings in my TV. I love Living Single. It boosted Queen Latifah for me. That's the type of rap that I listen to. Like, I would put Queen Latifah in like the Salt and Peppers of the world. Like, when I tell you, I could tell you every word from Salt and Pepper's Very Necessary CD. You know, I've talked about it, how like the first CD that I bought with my own money, like my own money, was Fan Mail by TLC, because I listened to on the TLC tip and Crazy Sexy Cool as a kid. But like, that was my genre and brand of female rap back in the day when I was growing up. Is there a certain genre that you gravitated towards back in that day?
I remember being in awe of Queen Latifah as a person. You know, like, it wasn't her music that spoke to me. It was because, like you said, we're visual people. So I knew her from television. I knew her from Living Single, but I also knew that she played basketball. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, you know? And I knew that she could rap. And she was so multifaceted. And then when I found out she could sing, the Dana Owens album went triple platinum in our home, okay? My mama listened to the Dana Owens album. I listened to the Dana Owens album. Queen Latifah, bro, I dropped the classic on y'all. Y'all don't give her the credit that she deserves.
I know.
But when I was younger, no, I didn't have, like, I was, like, as a young boy, I was in, like keyed in on, like, who are my favorite women rappers, right? It would just be, like, the ones that were popular on the radio. I would really start to digest a lot of that music. I know you mentioned TLC. You could not be a kid in the 90s and not know TLC, you know.
Because they were the perfect blend of R&B and rap.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had some songs that I don't want to throw my parents and my ancestors under the bus, but for people to act like now rap is so raunchy, TLC was making my kind of rap. That's a raunchy rap right there. What was that? You said fan mail. What's that? Silly Ho was on there.
Oh, I love Silly Ho.
Right. Silly Ho used to come on the radio, but even songs like I'm Pretty, you know, where they talk about, you know, these issues that women face or whatever.
Yeah.
And even as a young boy, both of those songs hit the same to me. They both jam, you know, like it didn't matter what the subject matter was. And that's the same album. So, man, I'm happy that you called that one out. Bro, I haven't talked about fan mail in so long.
I know. That's crazy. I know. When I tell you TLC is the one thing I can tell you backwards and forwards, like, I think I play Ain't Too Proud to Beg, like, whenever I plug the aux cord in.
Man, Ain't Too Proud to Beg's underrated. And no one could tell me different. What's that one interlude they had? Don't get me wrong, because I'm not a hoe.
Not a hoe. I don't want a guy who
could have
all the real.
Yeah,
that was my song. Good at being bad. Good at being bad.
You must be crazy. What you gonna do like me?
Oh, God. When I tell you, in 16-year-old me thought that was my anthem. Word for word. I remember playing it for my friends, like, this is why I can't mess with Tony. Let me y'all listen to this.
Sunny day.
Yes. They're like, oh, this is so nice. I was like, wait.
At our feet. Yes.
Oh, Mark, my gosh,
that's what I'm talking about. We was there.
Yeah. But I do like that they said Queen Latifah won the Grammy for Unity, UNITY. Like,
yeah,
amazing. And I remembered this Sister Soldier moment. Did you remember this? That press conference. I remember seeing that. I don't know why. Oh, well, probably because we lived in DC at the time and it was all
right, right, right.
Yeah. But
set it up, Mark.
Yeah, so the docuseries talks about Sister Soulja, because now we're on the rise of, like, political action when it comes to female rappers. And Sister Soulja was a part of the group Public Enemy. She was like a lawyer or something, an activist. Like, she knew what she was talking about, and she would put the struggle into her raps. But she then does a interview where she basically tries to talk about like the genocides going on in apartheid. I think she was talking about genocides in general when it comes to, like, Black people. And she said, could you imagine if Black people woke up one day and said, oh, let's kill all the white people? What would be the reaction to that, as opposed to letting, like, white people kill Black people in massive genocides? Of course, her quote was taken out of context to just basically be like, oh, we should kill all white people day or something like that. And political people like Bill Clinton used it as, like, a political tool to, like, kind of, like, divide. You know, he was in with the Black people, but he didn't want to seem too in, so he made sure to, like, denounce her comments. And I love the Sister Soulja press conference. This is the one I'm saying I remember. Sister Soulja gets on a press conference and said, like, first off, that was taken out of context, but second of all, y'all are really sitting here debating on what I'm saying and something that's misconstrued, as opposed to actually going out and helping people. Like, it was such a call, and I remembered it so vividly. And I remember, like, after that, like, she was no longer, they got her out of the paint, basically, when it came to, like, hip-hop. It felt like, but I liked how they segue to, like, how female hip hop today is kind of still using their platforms to be political, even if it's in a different way. We get this amazing montage between, like, Meg and Lotto and Nicki Minaj and Cardi, and then, They had to do the WAP stop down, Chappelle.
Yes.
Oh my God. WAP took over political commentary 3 years ago. What did you think about the inclusion of that here?
Republicans hate WAP so much.
I love it.
There's nothing that will bother a conservative more than the song WAP. That song is like music. It's literally music to my ears every time I hear this song, because I know somewhere there's a conservative person crying. And I am in awe of them every time. I am a Meg stan.
Same.
Meg the Stallion from the Houston, Texas, who went to the Prairie View A&M University. She didn't graduate from there, but still she went there. Dang it. And matter of fact, I think we overlapped just a little bit. But regardless, when Meg wants to make a song with Cardi B, we gonna listen. And when the song is about women's bodies, that's the easiest way. The easiest way to make people talk. Because if we've learned nothing else in the United States, it's that people are gonna try to police women's bodies. They're not gonna let them talk about it. They're not gonna let them do what they want with it. And WAP was very much the epitome of what happens when you allow women to speak freely, right? Mm-hmm. And how angry people get. Yes, it's a vulgar song. People were worried about the children. Don't let your kids listen to vulgar music. How about that? You know, But all those conversations were being overshadowed because everybody just wanted to villainize Cardi B and Meg for talking about their own bodies in a world where we have seen men talk about our bodies, our genitals, our women's genitals, everybody's private parts. OPP, you know me. You know, we talked about it for years and nobody says nothing. But WAP happens and the world explodes. First of all, music video, unmatched. I love it so much. All the baddies were in the video. It was crazy. I think that anybody who doesn't like the WAP video, I'm sorry, we just cannot be friends. If you are not a fan of WAP, I can't get with you on that one. This is perfect. And speaking of Cardi B, you know, Cardi B was one of the people they touted as, you know, one of the most outspoken. You can't convince me her and AOC aren't the same person. I've never seen them in the room at the same time.
Yeah, me neither.
So who's to say? You know, I've seen them both talk to Bernie Sanders. That's all I got. So I love that so much. It's just like even in talking about their bodies, women are still making political statements in hip hop. Mm-hmm. And so that's so refreshing to see, but it's also cool to see it highlighted in here.
Yeah, I really like that as well. I think I loved all the headlines of like Cardi B is a political pundit we need. And honestly, I think she is. She is the inroads for a lot of like young kids to at least stop and maybe hopefully do some more research, you know? So, I love how she uses her platform. I truly do. She's up and down, but I appreciate the effort. A for effort, you know.
I love you, Cardi, man. Girl.
Exactly.
This is so cool.
Yeah, and just to round out the end of episode one, we did get a little bit of the fashion piece. I felt like we could have stopped down a little bit deeper into the fashion, but. Needless to say, I did love that they had they talked about April Walker and Walker Wear. There's another documentary on, I want to say it's, I'm pretty sure it's Netflix, about like streetwear in hip hop. Yeah, I'll make sure I'll double check and I'll put in our show notes for our next episode, just in case I'm wrong. But there are really good docuseries about how like street fashion and streetwear shaped hip hop, and this is what they kind of talk about here. We did have the stylist Misa Hilton Brim, who they talked to her, and they highlighted she was the one who did the Little Kim left titty out MTV VMA outfit. That was iconic. That was an iconic moment in hip hop fashion.
It broke the internet. It really did.
It truly did. Before the internet was even up to be broken, it broke it.
It did. It broke the world. As a wee lad, I knew about Lil' Kim and I knew this story, right? First of all, I saw the MTV Awards. So I saw it happen too.
Yes, we all saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was
saw the jiggle live.
Right. We did. We really did.
We saw Diana Ross.
It was perfect. I'm sorry. This is a perfect moment. This woman just earned my stand card as well, ma'am. You saved my childhood in a lot of ways. So, love Lil' Kim. Love the her as a pioneer, but when it comes to fashion, she's done so much and led so many other rappers into that same realm of she could change up her look. She could reinvent herself so many times. And it started a lot with these fashion designers saying, okay, well, you're a woman in hip hop. What do we want you to look like? And they didn't have to look the same. You know, we had Queen Latifah, who looked like Mother Africa, you know?
Yeah, with her kookies.
Yes, and that big ass hat, you know?
I love that hat, dog. Yeah, I love that hat.
Queen Latifah, give me strength, you know? but then you had, you know, somebody like Lil' Kim who was showing off her body, you know? And those
the
two
famous
people
poster. Were,
right, exactly. That the Drake pose is what I call it, because he tried to do what he does best, colonize it.
My brother had that in his room.
Yeah, as he should.
On his door.
Right, as he should. But then you talk about people like Missy Elliott, who were able to use fashion to take away from conversations about her body and her image, and to form her own image. So again, you talk about Queen Latifah, you always gonna make me smile. When you talk about Missy Elliott, Mari, I just start to gush.
Oh my gosh. I love Missy Elliott. I love this section of them talking about how she broke stereotypes while also creating a whole new era of fashion. They touched on how, like, Missy, of course, we know that Missy had been in the game for a very long time as a writer and producer before she really embarked on her solo career. And a lot of people had told her that, you know, her solo career wouldn't really work out because, you know, she didn't have the right body type. You know, she was dark skinned, she was thicker, and they never thought it would work. But Missy showed them, like, her creativity could shine through all of that. And they showed us the back, the behind the scenes of her getting the infamous trash bag look blown up, and just the way that is my favorite video, and it just shows you her emoting through the trash bag. She literally had a trash bag on, a helmet, and glasses, and yet we all know, you know, what she was emoting through all of those things. It's just pure talent, and then to inspire an era of fashion is just remarkable amongst all of her other contributions to hip-hop, because that's not even her like main contribution, you know?
Right. The Missy aesthetic was everything, you know?
Yeah, it truly was. And they said Sarita Gates, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sarita Gates, she's a like an archivist, a hip-hop archivist. I loved them having her as a talking head. She directly says, Nikki and Tierra are sons of Missy, she said.
Yes.
That's it for episode one. Chappelle, what did you think about, did you think that episode one missed anybody? I feel like I was lied to. I was told that Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, and Megan Thee Stallion weren't in this show.
Who said that? You know?
Who
said that? They definitely are. They're in here, you know? I think it's impossible to say, oh, this is a 40-minute, you know, episode of television and we're going to hit everybody. Right. Like, I can name some notable women rappers from back then off the top of my head. They weren't in this, but also you have to give this type of thing room to grow, to breathe. It's four episodes. And like, since it's not serialized and sequential, you can jump around and you can come back and get other people. But Nicki Minaj, Meg, they were in here. They were in here. Missy was in here. So people lying. Somebody lied.
Yeah. They weren't in here as talking heads. And I remember, I'm trying to find it on Twitter. I remember the one of the producers of the documentary had said, like, you know, Nicki didn't give them the rights to her music, you know, to some of her music. And, you know, they said that they asked several artists, and some artists just couldn't make it, you know, but they still did give respect where respect was due. But even if they weren't there, you know what I'm saying? Like, the talking heads in this docuseries were so many of them. It's so many. So I would almost say, if I'm putting my crime scene hat on, there is almost too many, but again, I haven't seen the last two episodes, to see where they go. But like, we had people like Sarita Gates, who I thought was good for like the historian vibe, like Angie Martinez as well. We had Kathy Iandoli, who was a journalist and author. So we had people like that. And then we also had like Saweetie and Cash Doll and Coi Leray. And I was like, you know, again, I don't know what the last two, maybe they're better for the last suited for the last two episodes, but I loved talking to Roxanne Shanté was there, you know, like we said, Dee Barnes was there. Misa was there. So Brittany Cooper, who was also a journalist, like they were all there, but there were just some people that I was like, you only talk to them for like a second and they're kind of like in their portion and then they were gone. And it just, you know, I don't know. Am I wrong in thinking that there might have been one too many of the talking heads, Chappelle?
I don't think you're wrong. I think that maybe it feels like it's kind of rushed when you only give them like one soundbite here and then you right. go forever and you don't give us the significance about what they're saying. Like you assume that the viewer knows Coi Leray, right? And that we know right. what Coi Leray has done. But when you get, you know, like you said, when you get Brittany Cooper, you know, it says journalist and it says all, you know, like exactly what her pedigree is as far as like, you know, why she's a talking head. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Right. But when you just get like Coi Leray saying like, and that's why I write my own raps. It's like, thanks. You know, so yeah, I can see what you're saying. Hopefully they incorporate the people they didn't give as much attention to in this one into more. Like, so if you're telling me the next era that they talk about is about something else, and then you bring in Coi Leray and you bring in, you know, some of the other people who are a little bit more quieter, then it makes more sense to me like as a story. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people were operating under the assumption of the trailer, you know, because in the trailer, I think Queen Latifah definitely got like a big spot in the trailer. Again, it was like, it was noticeably absent in the trailer when they didn't put like your Cardis, your Megs or your Nickys, because of course they're not sitting down in front of you talking to you. You know what I'm saying? But I think if you actually watch the show, they're adequately represented even in their absence.
Yeah. This is called Ladies First. You gotta have Queen Latifah. She's the main the lady first named after her song. Is she gonna be in the trailer? I'm sorry, y'all got to leave Dana Owens alone. She can do what she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break and then we'll move on to episode two.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
See website for details. Okay, we're back to talk about the second episode in the Ladies First docuseries entitled What Are They Up Against? Now, this episode for me, Chappelle, this was kind of like, I felt we were out of the history portion of the programming and more to like analysis of the industry itself. What do you think about that assessment?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, and I also think that it's all historical, right? So I think that in a way, the reason why you and I are so fascinated by the stories of hip hop and these artists and their stories and their origins is because it's a lot of ways it's Black history told from a Black perspective. A lot of the history that we learn has been taught to us through books that were written by white people. And so when we hear these songs in the moment, they explain to us what people like us were going through and how they saw the world. And so, yeah, you have to lay the foundation and tell us, you know, where the beginnings were, but then you can get intricate and start talking about some of the things in the industry that we might not talk about or might not be as front of mind when you talk about hip hop, specifically with women in hip hop. I like that they kind of pivot and start talking about some of the industry struggles, because that too shapes the history of what happens and how we tell these stories.
Yes, exactly. So the track list that we had for this episode was It's a Man's World, Double Standard, Beautiful in Your Complexion, and Falling into the Trap. I really like this. It almost felt like a different documentary. It felt like one documentary was the first episode. This felt like a second documentary, almost like the pitfalls of the industry, like what to be made aware of. It really was very interesting. I love how I didn't love it because it was hard, but they highlight the misogyny in hip hop, and it really makes you think, because they were just showing clips after clips of like such misogynistic songs from their male counterparts, and you're just like, oh, like. Like, oop, I just saw Tip Drill. That was one of my songs. Like, it's like,
that was my song. Like, you know,
it's like, it's like you're starting to realize, you're like, dang,
perpetual.
And this is where they dive into the infamous line, Roxanne Shanté is only good for steady fucking, which we alluded to. That was said by KRS-One when Roxanne Shanté was 15. Like, that's brazy.
Yeah, that's a kid. And there have been, dare I say it, worse rap lyrics than that. I think there was a period of time where if you was in a diss battle with somebody, nothing was off limits.
Right.
Nothing. No matter if it was problematic, toxic, rapist, whatever the case may be. Yeah. People said it. I know DMX then raped a few people in his raps. Biggie then raped people in their raps. And these are like our hip hop. Yeah, and killed their kids, you know, killed their mamas, their daddies, their family, everybody dying or getting raped, you know. And those are our icons in hip hop, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a culture where, you know, you try to make this thing so hard to where, yeah, you feel like this is aggressive, you know, where this is a diss track. We are here to hurt each other's feelings, but also make it funky at the same time.
Right.
And if you can do that, cool. But there has to be a limit to what you can say and do, because once you start to say those things, it does reverberate. You know, now we have people trying to police the way women act and do things. And we've always had that, really. But, you know, maybe if you're not saying those things over and over again, then, you know, you could move away from that without people believing it. Because it is very telling that, you know, Cardi and Meg make WAP, and you got people like Snoop Dogg, like, oh, my God,
yeah,
I think they should cover up. Like, sir. What do you know? First of all, your album was called Doggy Style. Sir, what are you talking about? Dog, what? So yeah,
this was perfect, perfect editing here on the documentarian's part. Because like Chappelle says, they talk about like WAP, and then we get the clip of Uncle Snoop. Like, I normally love me some Uncle Snoop, but he was dead wrong for this, and they put him on blast for it. He talked about like, oh, they shouldn't be saying that stuff, they should keep it private, they could like keep some stuff to themselves. While they had that clip of him saying that, under it is his song. I forget the name of the song, but it's like, how wet is yo? It's like him whispering that to like a stripper on a song, you know? And it's just like, it's just so funny. I was like, this was the perfect editing note because it is just the hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy of it all. It's like men rappers can rap about women's bodies and doing whatever they want to women's bodies, but the minute that the women say they want to take back their sexuality, they want to be the ones in charge of their sexuality, that's when everybody all of a sudden has a problem. Like, that's, I'm sorry, that's a little sketchy. That is like very, very, very sketchy.
My favorite male rapper to pick on these days, and he has invited this, and I know he's not listening to this, but whatever. You have invited this ire, and I'm going to say it. Ice Cube, what the hell?
Oh, God, yeah.
Chill. And so Ice Cube is my favorite rapper to pick on like this. I know we see the story of where, was he working?
Yo-Yo,
mm-hmm. Right. And Yo-Yo's telling him, like, hey, you know, this misogynistic rap and stuff, if I'm going to be a part of the crew, you can't be calling me a bitch and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what? You lame, blah, blah, blah. But he does pivot, you know, and start to say things a little bit cleaner for her. But the idea that somebody like Ice Cube, even now, you know, is speaking out on the morality of things when his rap career inspired a lot of, mm-hmm. I won't say crimes, but it definitely inspired an attitude, if you will, for a certain subset of people who have them. And it's like, bro, what are you doing? How are you sit up on your high horse and then try to tell somebody else what they can and cannot do? And then this is your platform, you know? Because one of my earliest memories, Mar, you want to talk about perpetuating? Mm-hmm. My earliest memory is when I was riding with my mom. We were coming from Houston, 3-hour trip. And we're listening, Today Was a Good Day, or It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube or whatever. Yep. And my mama is in the front seat. My Jimmy runs deep, so deep, put that ass to sleep. And I'm there. I'm in the back seat like, okay. So next time I hear the song, I'm like, I'm going to hit that lyric like my mama did. And it was the dirty version. So I'm like, my dick run deep, you know, and in my mind, there was nothing wrong with that. I was like, yeah, I'm hitting the lyrics. I can't wait till when I wrap this around my friends. I'm going to hit every word. You know, that stuff just trickles down into our minds and then we just do it. And then when other people do it, it's a problem. So yeah, as a man, I was like covering my face a little bit. Like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed.
You survived that without getting popped?
I mean, I didn't do that in front of my mama.
Okay.
That was for the playground. You know, that was for the walk home from school. My mama, this day, act like she never heard that song before.
I remember the one day I made the mistake of saying the P word in front of my mama. I have never seen her hand move so fast.
It was a song that I used to sing on the playground. It was called Romeo and Juliet by Silky Fine. The word like
Romeo and Juliet.
Hot. On the playground, Mari. I remember it vividly, but who was I listening to this music with? My mom and them. And so, we perpetuate those kind of stuff. And then we get older and we want to clutch our pearls. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I like how you brought up Cube because through the Cube and Yo-Yo section, I think it was something I didn't really realize until they really like connected the dots for you. But Yo-Yo talks about like how she was performing, she met Cube, and Cube was like, oh, you got to be in our group. And they talk about how when, you know, women's rap was coming up in that day, it would always be like, oh, there'd be like a male rap group and they always had the one female in the group, they always had the one woman in the group, and they just start flashing all of the groups on the screen. I was like, oh my God, I you know, I was like you don't really realize it, you know, like Junior Mafia, Flip Mode, Terror Squad, Lynch Mob, like it's like, oh my God, they all just had one random woman, like Young Money, like it's, what? Mm-hmm.
You had to be the first lady of the group, and
and
I'd never heard it put into words where it's like, do you understand how problematic that is? Because it makes it limits the space for other women for sure, but then it makes them inherently more competitive against each other, right? So they're gatekeeping, you know, they're gatekeeping the one woman spot, you know, so that they can get paid, so they can make money, so they can have a career when they're in a group with 11 and 12 other people. I think MC Ratchet said there were 12 people around her. And she's like, I gotta be the only woman? you know? And, you know, there's probably some other toxic things that go on when there's only one woman in a group of, you know, a man of a certain age for sure. But Mari, did you see the parallel with wrestling? Because we see some wrestling stables that all mimic that same thing in the Attitude Era. I mean, you just talked about it. You had to have your one girl or it wasn't a group.
Yeah, it really is eye-opening. Like, this was the part where I was like, wow, they really were perpetuating this. There could only be one woman. This hatred between women so early, and then we wonder why even in today's we're still having you know we are having women beefing only over shit that happened 10 years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's sad that it feels like the industry has always been like this for women. It always was you have to be in competition with other women. Doesn't matter if there's 20 dudes that sound exactly alike, that they all get to be made space for, but it's only one woman. It was like it was very, very eye-opening. I loved hearing from Rod Digga, of course, here talking about her in flip mode. And I thought that this was a good lead into the 1996 of it all. Little Kim versus Foxy Brown.
And. This isn't where the beef was. This is pre-beef,
yes.
But probably right around this. It's probably overlapped.
Little Kim and Foxy Brown. And of course, like we said, the rise of women's sexuality in hip hop. And they spotlight Foxy Brown's lyrics, of course, from her album, the Il Nana album. And I did not realize she was 16. Like, it keeps going back to, like, I still don't realize how young these women were getting into this game and how, like, dangerous that is, you know?
That I don't really know what other way to say this. Like, that's hella dangerous.
Yeah.
Foxy Brown is only 44 years old.
Jesus.
Only. She has been in the industry since 1996. 30 years this woman has been doing rap. She's 44. That doesn't make any damn sense that this woman has been famous for that long and famous for what she's famous for. She's like famous for being a rapper, but it's also her body. You know, you know, for a dear God, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old better not even say Il Nana around me and I'm just gonna flinch, you know? Yeah. But, you know? But back then, she was one of the hottest chicks in the game. She was in the rappers' videos. They were name-dropping her in songs.
Exactly. So
she was a child.
Yeah, and then so we get this rise of sexual empowerment, and I did love this movement. Of course, it was pushed back upon, you know, but it did feel like another way for women to express themselves. But like everything, and when we live in a capitalistic society, that sexual empowerment kind of turns into powering the industry machine. And it then starts to backfire because we get not the rise of colorism in the industry, but that whole now it's like sex sells. Now it's that sex appeal. It's like you have to be able to be marketed sexually. And then we get talks about colorism in music videos and how a lot of the music video girls had to be light skinned with certain kind of hair. And they were, when them posting some of those call sheets, I was like, ugh. So annoying. Like, the call sheets were just so problematic. Oh, must be multiracial, must be this and that. That Kodak Black clip.
Listen, my problematic fave.
No, stop it.
I'm a Kodak fan. Look, if we could be Ice Cube fans and we could be Snoop Dogg fans, I'm just saying, in the 90s, this was a thing. I don't know if you never liked Cube, but I'm just saying, you can hold both of these things at the same time. Kodak be rapping, man. Oh my God. No flocking to this day. But bro, these are so stupid and ignorant statements. You know, I hate my skin tone, so I only date women that are lighter than me. Are you talking about, Kodak Black? You shouldn't be so selective. Just as a rule of thumb, Kodak, just throw that out there. But I think that this is dumb. I think that colorism is stupid, but I think that we also perpetuate these things a lot of times. You know, even with the sexuality part, you talked about Lil' Kim and Foxy. But if they were getting charged up by black folk, why are you so naked? Why are you acting like this? Why are you so sexualizing? Why are you doing all this stuff? And they were shaming them. I think they even show a clip from where or a snippet of like Bell Hooks saying, you know, they're more dangerous than any words that come out of Lil Kim's mouth or the forces that like try to oppress her and silence her. You know, it's like, yeah, Lil Kim talking about sex ain't changed nobody's life except Lil Kim's life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But everybody else is trying to stop Lil Kim from doing stuff. You know, it's like, leave her alone. She ain't bothering you. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. But here we are.
Yeah, we also get this section, like, so they introduced Chica in this section about colorism.
What you think about Chica, Mari?
I know, right? it sucks because I'm a fan of Chica. I'm actually a fan of her rapping as well. But the things that her social media presence is just very... it's very bad, and it kind of just I feel for her because, like she talks about it, she's a dark-skinned black woman like myself, and she's bigger, and she's a bigger woman, and so she talks about how online everybody loves her raps, but they say there's no market for her because she doesn't fit into this sexuality box, she doesn't really fit into this box. And she talked about all the hate that she gets online, and I feel for her so much because I know she's struggling. But Chica, some stuff just does not need to be online. Like, just save it for the group chat, you know? Like,
text your home girl,
real friends. I know, right. I know. But I like that they took this Chica thread and drew it to Lauryn Hill. Hill, like, our savior, our goddess. When they talk about this section about like Lauryn Hill coming up, she's dark skinned. Not only is she dark skinned, but she also has natural hair with her locks and stuff like that. It's so funny for me as somebody who grew up a Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, great album, an album I love. I know backwards and forwards. It didn't even occur to me that she was like really breaking those type of bounds because I just saw myself in her, but didn't, you know what I'm saying? But like normal, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the way that they're talking about it here, I was like, oh my God, you're right. She was like one of the first dark skinned women to be praised for her looks as well. Being on fashion magazines, like being okay movies. With like the natural hair, the movies, all of that, and of course she wins album of the year at the Grammys. Like, we love Lauryn Hill. You know, she might not make it somewhere on time, but matter what,
I wasn't gonna say it, Lauryn Hill owe me money. It owes me money.
You should know at this point. Don't spend your money on those tickets.
I was one of the first people, though. I'm the cautionary tale. I bought the Lauryn Hill tickets. At least Erykah Badu gonna show up late. Lauryn Hill didn't show up at all. She owes me money. I started pushing back against Lauryn Hill after a while. I was like, you know, Miseducation was cool, but I don't know, y'all giving it a lot. You know, but bro, give me my $72 back. You know what I'm saying? I had good seats. She owed me money, Mari. I don't care. Lauryn Hill obviously is a trailblazer, but like you said, me and you, we were so young to where it was just like, and we were surrounded by people who looked like us. So it was like Lauryn Hill looked like she was like, that's us excelling, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas you're somebody who is in a space where that's not normal, you're like, man, look at how much she's done. Now, there's probably a larger conversation to talk about the Fugees as a band, as a hip hop group, and like, you know, that all of them are problematic. But I think that we can all definitely highlight Lauryn Hill and all of her accomplishments, and even just winning Album of the Year as a rapper. You know, like that means the entire Recording Academy came to a consensus that you deserve this. You know, a dark skinned black woman with natural hair deserve this for Album of the Year, bro. It's mega stars that will never see Album of the Year, you know? And Lauryn Hill racked that up in the 90s. That's crazy.
It is. And finally, we had the Falling for the Trap track list. And not the Brat. I was, I love Brat. Like, I know, I love her so much. And I was like, I forgot that she did that thing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the Brat section here?
I love the Brat. I had the biggest crush on the Brat when I was in like middle school. I remember she had softened her up a look a little bit. And I think she was dating like Floyd Mayweather or something like that. It was something like that.
Her Tyrese era when she
what you like a whole lot of that was my, I was like, okay, the Brat, me on I mean, I used to love the Brat. But watching the Brat here, the Brat story is something that even if you didn't live it, you hear her story, you know it's true, right? You can see her story.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I hung out with my dad. I got to be, you know, a tomboy. I went to granny house, and we all know how you act with granny house, you know, like you gotta tighten it up. You gotta, you know, and you're going to church every Sunday. And when she tells the story about when she decided to rap at church, even though it was gospel. I knew. I was like, this story is going downhill because there's no way in the 90s or 80s you are pulling off a rap song in a church house without the entire family having shame. You know, I was like, Granny, they probably ran Granny out the church.
The Brat was one of my favorites because growing up, because again, I say it all the time, I was a diehard like tomboy growing up. I played all of the sports. I was just so tomboyish, and I loved her style back then, and hearing her talk about growing up in the church and kind of like the code switching of it all was so interesting to hear. And the whole using her grandmother's like being so sanctified to her and JD changing it to so functified, like making her the first female rapper to go platinum. Like, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had no clue.
No idea.
I had no idea. I love Funkified. I love that song. You could knock me over with a feather. First solo female rapper to go platinum. I think it was number 11 on the charts or whatever. Oh man, I'm sorry. That makes me smile. That makes me so happy. Now, of course, since this is the trap section, you know that the Brat does have her issues with run-ins with the law eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She ends up getting arrested for a fight in a bar and doing like 3 years in prison. I forgot about this until they brought it up. I was like, oh right. She did like end up going away at like the top of her game. She's at the top of her game and had to go to prison for 3 years. And it was just, it's just so sad because like the pundits in this section were saying, like when you're running with the guys, when you're running in this industry, you fall into that trap. You fall into that like being around when crimes are happening or committing crimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is where we get Remy Ma. I loved Remy Ma's part in this. I loved having her as a talking head, her talking about growing up in the Bronx during the crack epidemic, how her mom went to jail. I'm assuming because her mom was selling it. It sounded like
she was trapping at the very least.
And so her mom goes to jail and she's just couch surfing at the age of what, 14? And again, some very dangerous situations that these women are finding themselves in.
They were kids, you know, children.
Yeah. And one day she's rapping at school and the next she's working with Joe and Pun and she's in Terror Squad, and having to grow up so quickly and so fast in an industry that's unforgiving, you know, it's almost not a surprise that she ends up doing 7 years for, she ends up being sentenced to, I believe it was 9 years or something like that, 8 or 9 years. And she ended up doing a little bit over 6 years on the assault charge for, if I remember correctly, shooting her best friend over money, if I remember correctly. But I did like the I keep saying like, I don't know if like is the word, but I did like the fact that they bring up that when male rappers go to jail, they get that reputation, they're hard, they're cool, you know. They come out of jail, their iconic legend status grows. Meanwhile, women come out of jail and it's kind of like, we don't know about you anymore. You know what I'm saying? And we could definitely see that in DeBrat's career. Luckily, she did get that like comeback in the mid-2000s when she changed up her style a little bit. Of course, it was necessary for her to change up her style in order for her to come back. But then we know that style is not authentic to her now. But Remy talking about how it was hard for her to kind of like get people to sit down and talk to her about what her next steps were and how she decided to do Love and Hip Hop and it helped rehabilitate her image and stuff like that, which I really liked. I really liked that, you know, they didn't get into any of her like most recent beefs or anything like that. But I did like that they show that the women got caught up too, and they didn't get that same treatment. I do remember when Kim got 1 year in jail for perjury. Did she go to jail for the whole year though?
She did a year and one day, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I think, man. She did the entire time. Yeah. Cause I remember they did Lil Kim's prison countdown and everything.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. It's like the short of the sentence. I was like, oh, you were just gone for a blip. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. And we're so used to hearing people like they get this large sentence and then they don't do it. Kim did the entire time. I'm pretty sure she did the entire thing. And like the in Philly, you know.
Do remember us all thinking it was kind of like bullshit because like y'all are really charging her and sentencing her for perjury when people be out here perjuring themselves all the damn time. And I remember people like, oh yeah, she ain't snitch, like she's real one.
She lied to the grand jury, it was bad. But you know. But Kim got that like, oh yeah, like she a real one for not snitching or whatever. She went to jail, but her career was never the same. It just wasn't, you know. And so, and even with Remy Ma talking, you know, Remy, from my point of view, Remy got love and support when she came out from us, from our age range. We're like, oh, she out, let's do it, let's hype her up, let's give her, you know, like give her a spotlight. But I had never looked at it from the angle of, you know, if she was a man rapper, everybody at that point is clamoring. What is he going to talk about now that he's out? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? But exactly. Nobody wants to sit down with her.
I mean, we see that all the time. We're seeing that kind of with the proceedings that are going on right now. Definitely with Bobby Shmurda. Everybody couldn't wait till Bobby Shmurda got out. He out. And now people are like,
Right. Boosie too. Everybody was free Boosie. I make mistakes. I make mistakes. I had an airbrush free Boosie shirt in college. Oh, you couldn't tell me nothing. Yes, I was him. He is me. I denounce, repudiate, and condemn that person. You know, yes. That is not me.
at least we were on the right side of the free Gucci, right? Like we were on the right side of that.
To this day,
that man ain't bothered nobody since.
Ain't bothered nobody. No, he's
except
fine.
For.
He fine.
Except for young Jock, right?
Yeah. Po Jeezy. Listen.
Oh, Jeezy. Yeah, Jeezy.
Yeah, Gucci ain't did nothing to nobody. Leave him alone. He's rehabilitated. My king.
He's all healthy now and everything. He drinks water. So good for him.
Got his new teeth. Listen, I got both of Gucci's books sitting right here. I could go grab them right now and hold them up. You know, like.
Please don't.
I'm sorry. I keep them next to my Bible. That is my guy. I'm sorry.
Oh my free Gucci. That is it for episodes 1 and 2 of Ladies First, A Story of Women in Hip Hop. I would highly, highly suggest you go and watch it. Go and watch the whole series because we will be back talking about episodes 3 and 4. Chappelle, anything else you want to talk about from the first two episodes before we sign off?
No. I think that we talked about, I mean, we really get into it, you know, what they laid out for us, but there's so much cultural context to what's going on. You know, you touched on Bill Clinton and, you know, the fact that he was the one talking down on this Black woman and using her for his platform or whatever. And then for probably another decade was considered the first quote unquote Black president by a lot of people. Ugh. Right. They were like, they were, listen, as I said, that's not on us. That is on the generation before us. We were children. Yep. But it was everywhere. Comedians, all kinds of stuff. And it just goes to show you that they did it. There wasn't a lot of attention paid to the plight of that Black woman that he just stepped all over. Right. Mm-hmm. Like he got away with saying that and then got hyped up, you know, for the next 10 years and was doing some low down stuff. You know, the Clintons, we'll pay for their crimes. You know, just say that. One day, everybody gonna get theirs, I guess. And so,
hello to the prison industrial complex.
Right. Right. And so, you know, and so it's just very enlightening that they show these stories through the lens of hip hop, but how it just reverberates through the greater culture as well. And that you can see a lot of this stuff reflected in the way these women were treated and the way they came up. And a lot of them were just children. A lot of them were very, very young when they got into this. It was to make money. It was to have a voice. And then they have so many obstacles to get to where they've gotten. And so I really enjoyed this. I can't wait to talk about parts 3 and 4 with you.
Yeah. All right. So we do have a Patreon. If you want to help support our work, signing up makes it possible for us to bring you these podcasts each and every week. So if you're a fan of the We Got Y'all crew and want more coverage on shows like Ladies First and Rap Shit, please consider signing up on the Patreon at any level. When you do, you get very special patron perks, including our lively discussion channels and our patron Discord. Are you feeling some kind of way about this episode? If not, I mean, if so, well, there are tons of people happy to discuss your likes and dislikes on the Patreon Discord. You can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps to support PSR and all its podcasters. You can also check us out on Apple Podcasts by searching The Connect on Post Show Recaps. We are working to get onto Spotify. But yeah, definitely go and subscribe to us because that helps. That helps us. Also, please send your feedback. You can email us at connect@postshowrecaps.com. Again, that's CONNECT at postshowrecaps.com. Chappelle, where can the people find you?
People can find me on Rob Has a Podcast. I am doing daily suits coverage with Rob Sesson. You know, we have a new podcast called Suits Yourself, and we are talking about the hottest show on Netflix for the last few months, the 2011 hit television show from USA, Suits. And so every day, Rob and I are going to cover an episode of Suits. We started episode 1, literally dropped last night. And so every night, you should hear another Suits podcast coming for us until we are done with the entire 9 seasons. So that is going to be a fun undertaking with Rob. Yeah, 9 seasons of Suits coverage every day. Certified freak, 7 days a week, you know?
Yeah.
And then also on Rob Has a Podcast, I'm randomly popping in to cover Big Brother. Sasha and I are talking about Below Deck Down Under live on YouTube on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. And for the most part, I think that's it. You know, I'm just, like I said, I bounce around doing a little things here and there, but you can also catch me on the Nothing But Netflix podcast on Rob Has a Podcast, talking to Rob about Netflix shows. And so although we did not talk about Ladies First, we will be talking about a new Netflix show every week. This week, I think we're talking about the Adam Sandler movie, You Are Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah, with special guests.
Another one?
Another one. You know, with special guests, Sasha Joseph and Akiva. And so check that out too. And then in about a week, you will hear me on some good coverage over at 32 Fans talking about Mari and I's Baltimore Ravens with Jason Reed and Alexander Chester. So you can catch us on the 32 Fans podcast talking about that. But that's it. What about you, Mari?
You can find me and every week, every Tuesdays on the Rob Has a Podcast Network with Sarah Carradine talking true crime over on the Crime Scene podcast. Me and Sarah Carradine, we do a true crime review podcast where we watch true crime docuseries and we review them and we tell you if you should watch them. This week we dropped the missing Lucy Blackman case review, me, Sarah Carradine, and our returning guest, Sarah D. Bunting. It was a fun listen. I would definitely suggest you listen to our podcast. Don't watch the show. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed in order to listen and subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter at Crime Scene on Twitter. That's at Crime SEEN on Twitter. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. I too will be popping in for Big Brother coverage on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. So just make sure you're following me on Twitter so you'll know when I'm popping up. I am also on the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast with Matt Scott, but we are on hiatus. So while we're on hiatus, you can catch up on all our old episodes. We just had Chappelle on where we did a fun tier list of Attitude Era gimmicks and where they rank today or our feelings about them. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed in order to check us out there. Or you can go to the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page and watch the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast over there. So Thank you so much for joining us, joining the Connect to talk about Ladies First. We'll be back next week. Thank you for me and Chappelle. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.